Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to all my blessed beloveds out there in Radio Land. You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. It's Sunday night, Sunday fun day for Chloe and I. We had a most amazing day of just being lazy and puttering and doing laundry. And as of 30 seconds ago, we finished Guardians of the Galaxy. What a cute movie. I loved it. It's what we call a keeper in this house. It made me cry. So, you know, it definitely had some impact in the brain area. Very cute movie. Really well done. Kudos to the writers. Being comic book junkies that we are, it's awesome. It was a good movie. And Chloe's shaking her head yes and no, so I'm not following her lead. I'm really looking forward to tonight's guest, Teresa Romer. She is a phenomenal woman, and our connection is personal. We have a mutual person and who I just love and adore. She's an amazing media consultant. And she said, Rusty, you're going to love this woman. She's got a huge story to tell. So I'm going to be pulling her on soon. And I want to remind you that on Monday nights, I have my Ask a PI show. And that is 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com/AskAPI. And then Wednesdays, we have the normal 1 to 1:30 Living and Thriving show, but this Wednesday we will not be having a show because I will be battling with the ex in the courtroom once again. So unfortunately, I have a 1 o'clock court hearing, and hopefully with all the prayers and love that y'all send us, you know, it'll go smooth as butter and not as fattening as margarine, as I always say. So definitely look out for January. January is an auspicious event. Definitely January. I've got my book, In Pride and Prejudice, A Relocation Nightmare, which really discusses and outlines all of the discrimination that I received in the courtroom, and it was allowed, and the inability for investigations and so forth that prevented us from relocating actually caused quite a backlash of events, and the book is really sad and exciting and beautiful, and I'm so looking forward to sharing it with everybody, because I'm really hoping that people pay attention to who we vote for in the next election in regards to lawmakers, because what Chloe and I went through this year was unacceptable, especially as Americans, and definitely against the Constitution. But more to be told when you read the book, In Pride and Prejudice, and that comes out in January, as well as the Women's Voices. It's an anthology that I am co-author of, and that will be coming out. We were really shooting for before Christmas, but as life has it, ups and downs, ins and outs, things happen, and I'm not thinking that one is coming out before Christmas, but we're definitely shooting for January. And then Tainted Eloquence, Beautiful, You Are Beautiful, that also was announced today that will be coming out for Valentine's Day. Unfortunately, due to the publisher's illness, you know, she's been quite sick. She's had a few weeks where she hasn't been able to put all of us together and put the book together. So that will be launching February 14th for Valentine's Day. I'm really excited to be a part of that craftsmanship as well, because I'm just surrounded by so many amazing women with such beautiful stories to tell, and I'm just so humbled to be a part of this great path and really learn and thrive and live with each other. So enough of all of that. I'm going to pull Teresa on. I think she is on now. Teresa, are you out there, my dear?
I am. How are you?
I am groovy. Again, I've got like tears in my eyes. I didn't wear mascara today because I knew I was going to watch this movie, and I'm one of those mushy people who, if it has any kind of emotional content to it, I just cry like a baby. And it was a darn good movie. I was pretty impressed. I thought it would be more slapstick, but it actually had some value to it. I don't know if you've seen it yet.
No, I have not. But sometimes we have to have those movies in our lives to bring us back to reality, you know.
Amen. So my source tells me you are a phenomenal, incredible, amazing person, and I had to have you on the show, and we put this together real quick, and I'm grateful that you were able to spend tonight with us. So tell my audience who you are and what you do.
That's a really deep question, isn't it?
Oh, it is. I don't know if Dana told you I'm a tough host.
Wow. Where do I start? There's just so many layers of me and so many facets. My name is Teresa Romer. I'm an entrepreneur. I do everything in life. It's really crazy because people are like, now tell me a little bit about yourself. And I'm like, where do you want me to begin?
Do you want me to start from Z to Y or go from A to B? Where do you want to start?
I'm an entrepreneur, and I just recently launched a fashion clothing line. I'm launching a candle line in Neiman Marcus this Wednesday night. I have a truffle line that's in Saks Fifth Avenue. I'm a licensed real estate agent, and I flip houses for a living also. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm an author. I'm a huge philanthropist. I raise a lot of money for different charities, and so I have a full, rounded, wonderful life.
And how did you become so full and rounded and wonderful with all these amazing things that you're doing? And we definitely have to work on making sure you drop some titles and events during the show, because it's partially marketing, believe it or not. I mean, we're just sitting back having a conversation, but people want to be able to dig in and really discover who you are. So when you were a child, you were like, I'm going to be this amazing whirlwind of a woman, or did you want to be a dancer on, you know, the New York Strip like the rest of us girls?
No, you know, I was always accused as a little girl of being a daydreamer. You know, I always had teachers saying, you're not paying attention, you're daydreaming, you know, get focused. And, you know, nowadays they probably call those people, you know, that they have ADD or something. But back when I was a little girl, we were just called daydreamers. But I truly believe back when I started, as a little girl, I truly believed I was supposed to be something phenomenal and amazing in life. And I didn't know the road that I was supposed to take to get there. And Lord knows I've had many different roads in my life. But now, later in life, I really feel like I'm hitting my stride, and I've come to grow into my own skin finally. You know, where some people maybe sometimes do it in their 20s and 30s, I have always been accused of being somewhat of a late bloomer. I always try to do things later in life.
What's fun about the expression that you use, I'm going to minimize because everybody's pretty tired about hearing my personal story, but when I was a little girl, they always told me the same thing. They're like, you're such a daydreamer. Why don't you get real? You know, you're horrible at math. You're never going to do this. You're never going to do that. And I'm like, I'm going to do whatever I want to do because I'm just like this free spirit, just this angel of like whimsical nature. And they call us now indigo children. That's what they call us now. They don't call us, you know, daydreamers, which I don't mind either way. I'm pretty happy with who I am. But have you heard of the indigo child revolution?
I have not. No, I have not.
Yeah, it's the children of a spiritual nature that are able to navigate through the world with their own adversities and so forth, but they have gifts. And our daydreaming, so to speak, is part of the bubble that floats us towards our destiny, if that makes sense. So when we were daydreaming, that was actually just our protective bubble in order to get to the place that we're supposed to be. Like, this radio show is where I'm supposed to be. Your book is where you were supposed to be. So indigo child instead of daydreamer. I don't know, it's just a fancy way of saying daydreamer as far as I'm concerned, but it's kind of cute. So tell us about your book and the title and where we can find more about it.
Well, the book is called Nude, Unveiling Your Inner Beauty and Sensuality, and it's all about helping women be the best that they can be, because we truly do believe that all women possess an inner beauty. A lot of women have never known it. Some women put it away while they're, you know, raising children and lose track of where they put it, but all women possess inner beauty and sensuality, and a lot of times we forget about it because we just get so caught up in life. And it's available on Amazon.com, and it's just, it's really a fast read, and it's just, it's all about helping women. It's all about fitness tips and beauty tips and romance tips, and it's just, it's a phenomenal book. It's really fun.
But it's not the kind of book that would be degrading. So one of the reasons why I pulled you on the show, because Vanna's wonderful, she's amazing, but you have, you and I have a very similar thread in the cloth of life. You don't say, oh, go and get liposucked and go and do Botox and go, you know, it's not like this degrading thing. It's this, I love my body, and it's imperfect, and that's the way it's supposed to be. But for the most part, being raised, you know, I was raised Southern, on top of being female, on top of the 70s and the 80s, where it was, you know, no pain, no gain mentality, we are raised from the very beginning, from the bottle, to understand that we have to be better than we are. We are not good enough, and our imperfections are not good enough. And if we have 8 pounds on us from 2 months ago, that's not good enough, and we have to diet, and we have to exercise, and we have to primp and prom and all of these crazy things. But your book isn't anything like that, correct?
Correct. I mean, I truly believe that a woman doesn't have to be a size 2 or a size 4. I truly believe that, you know, what truly makes a woman happy is when she's confident in her own skin. And, you know, some of the most confident people in the world are Oprah Winfrey. You know, I mean, like, she's probably a size 14, and she's very confident. And that confidence that she carries is just, it makes her so loving and so sexy. I mean, like, I truly believe you just truly have to be comfortable in your own skin. And if that means being 10 or 20 or 30 pounds overweight, then that's what it means. I mean, nobody in my world, you don't have to be a size 2 to be perfect.
Well, and it was funny because I was a size 4 until a year and a half ago when I quit smoking. So, and the perils, you take a choice. You know, you quit smoking, which is a good thing, or you don't, which is what it is. But I gained 35 pounds, and I'm like, all right, this is a new body. I've never had breasts. so it's a completely new body, and I'm learning how to adjust to it. But what's interesting is every time I turn around, I get criticisms. So when I was a size 4, people were like, oh, you really are too skinny, because I'm almost 6 feet tall. So 4 is pretty small, but that's just my body. And now that I'm a little thicker, people are like, oh, you're really thick now. Don't you want to lose some weight? Do you really want? And I'm gluten-free, so it's not like I get too much for junk anyway, but every now and then I'll snack on Doritos. You know? And they're like, do you really want the Doritos? Because, you know, you've gained 35 pounds. And I'm going, I'm not going to please anybody. It's amazing what we do as a society and culture to really dumbify our femininity. I think women are beautiful and amazing no matter what size you are, because
right.
of your intellect and your class. And Coco Chanel was a fabulous, I mean, she was skinny as a rail. She was a fabulous feminist because she was all about being classy and being naughty. And you can be both. And the naughty really isn't naughty. It's just self-aware and very confident and allowing that inner goddess to come out. So what was your inspiration to write a book about this particular hot topic, and I mean it in H-A-U-T-E, hot, in a society that's really confused and struggling with allowing women to be women?
Well, you know, right now they say the average size woman in the United States is a size 12, 14. So even though society gets very caught up in the size 2s and the size 4s that you see in the magazines, I do believe now people have become very aware now that the magazines are photoshopped. You know, I personally think about 20 years ago, girls literally thought what they saw in the magazines was real. They were not aware of Photoshop back then like they are now. I think we've done a really good job in society now teaching society and young girls that the magazines are fake. They truly are just photoshopped. And we've seen that happen with a lot of women, just like Oprah Winfrey. We've seen her photoshopped in some magazines. And so I think we are better now than we were 20 years ago at teaching people that you don't have to be that size 2, because literally 20 years ago, the average size woman was not a 12, 14 in the United States. It really was a size 6 or an 8 back then. Now it's up to a 12, 14. Does that mean that obesity is on the rise? Probably yes, because of fast foods and things that weren't around maybe 20 years ago. But, you know, I truly am trying to help women learn and understand that you don't have to be a stick. You don't have to listen to society. I truly believe everything in life is in moderation. And, you know, whether that's exercising in moderation or eating ice cream in moderation or whatever, I truly believe the key to life is moderation. And as long as you know in your heart that everything you're doing in life is in moderation, then you're going to be happy. And I just want women to feel good about themselves no matter what size they are.
Well, and I look at Chloe and I don't know if you've had a chance to research my history. I'm very, very open about my life publicly.
Yep.
It's better than having the paparazzi run me off a bridge.
Right.
That's my future, right? So I believe very strongly, because of history and my geeky nerdiness, Women in History is one of my favorite books. It's a historical book, encyclopedia of women who have been artists from caveman times all the way through that we haven't even heard of because they don't really advertise, publicize, or get excited about women who have an intellectual basis. We get excited about women who have a sexual nature, which I'm a very sexual woman, but that's not what I advertise or put out there. That's not my PR. My brain is my PR in my world. And there have been thousands and countless women out there who were entrepreneurs and amazing women who were intellectually amazing. Not to say that they weren't beautiful physically too, but one of the interesting pieces to women in art history is the most amazing women during the caveman times, the beginning of life as we can understand it and date it, was women that were very voluptuous, and they were goddesses, and they were held to this high esteem because they were fertile and they were healthy and they were plentiful. And what's intriguing to me as we go through history and as we go through this process of changes, history is high and low and high and low. I mean, Greeks were very phenomenal about having women as equals versus unequal, but then there's been this very long time period where we've been really unequal and very bound to this image of male or patriarchal domination almost. You know, even with these rites of binding your feet so that you're pretty. What's interesting to me is I think that this tug of war we're having society in society right now is that we're starting to really question why all of these things have happened, because for the most part, in the beginning, women that were curvy or voluptuous were actually considered in high esteem. But in the last, 80 years, it has not been that way. So I think it's intriguing to watch, especially with my generation, who's kind of on this crux, both sides go at it, because there's some people that are still... I remember reading in McCall's when I was a little girl about, you know, hiding the chubby child. That was in the McCall's magazine. I don't know if anybody remembers McCall's. I'm that old. But, you know, that was like the prestigious magazine back then. But now it's kind of like we're on the fence about this whole process. What was your inspiration to write the book? What was your forethinking in regards to really protecting the identity of the soul versus the physical body?
Well, you know, I grew up as a model. I got my first modeling job with Barbizon Modeling Agency when I was 12. And
oh my God. Yeah.
And I was very tall, you know, 5'10", you know, size 4 girl also. And at 12, you know, I was just was so excited that I got chosen to be a model, you know. But I was also an athlete. And so unlike the toothpick size 4, I was a muscular size 4 because I was very much an athlete. So, and I knew as an athlete I had to eat and eat right to be able to become a great athlete, you know, and get scholarships. And so I was just totally unlike the rest of the girls. I did not listen to, oh, you know, have to live on a piece of lettuce and smoke, you know, to be a size 2 or a
parliament.
I knew an athlete, I couldn't do that. And so my whole life I've been a very accomplished athlete, winning bodybuilding titles and everything. And so I've just probably been one of those not normal people that just would never succumb to society and succumb to what they thought you needed to do. And even after I grew up and became a mother and everything else, I still worked for a Barbizon modeling agency trying to help young women not fall into that huge myth of, you know, you have to live on lettuce and cigarettes in order to be a great model. You know, if we teach young models how to eat right and exercise, they can be size 4s without having to, you know, starve themselves to death. So I've always been one of those not normal people that just doesn't conform to society. I've always walked to the beat of my own drum and done my own thing, and I've just never really paid attention to what the rest of society thinks.
What's fun about that is, you know, walking to your own drum, it you feel good at the end of the day. You sleep well. You know that you've done what is right for you and what's right for your belief system, and that's awesome. What I find intriguing is I think there's just such a huge change that's happening socially. I don't think the size 4 is really something to strive for anymore. I think being more natural is becoming
because 20 years ago and not even 10 years ago, you never heard of plus size models.
Right. Oh, trust me. Now, I was actually modeling for Fashion Bug, and I went from a 22-inch waist to a 24-inch waist. I became 21, and they told me that I was getting too old and too fat.
Yeah.
And I had a choice. I could remove my ribs so that my waist would go back down because my hormones were kicking in, or I had to quit. And I said, see you later.
Right.
It's like, I'm gone.
But that just...
Go ahead.
Yeah, but it just goes to show you, like I said, 20 years ago, there was no such thing as a plus-size model. Now, some of the models that were very, very popular 10 years ago are now deciding to become plus-size models, and I think that's an awesome thing. I just think and I don't think that's a sign that we're giving in to obesity. I just think that's a sign that we're giving in to women being of a healthy weight and not having to give in to anorexia and bulimia to feel good about themselves, to look
And I have to give hands down to Angie Evanhart, who I just love. She is gorgeous, and she was one of the pioneers to plus-size women, and she's at 12. I don't think that's plus-size personally, but what do I know? She's this beautiful woman who's just a little curvaceous. I mean, she's a Marilyn Monroe of my generation, and she was definitely a pioneer for this plus size concept. And it, you know, then we have now Adele, who is this beautiful woman, amazing singer, and she's also paved the way, because even in the music world, being a little bit overweight was not something that was acceptable.
Right. You're right. Very true.
So now we have all of these really amazing women who are extremely talented and they have gifts, and, you know, you've got hormones, you've got thyroids, you've got GMOs, you've got all this crazy stuff that we didn't have years ago. We don't actually work like we used to. I mean, women used to work. We would bend over for 3-4 hours scrubbing our own laundry in a wash basin versus having a washing machine. And we didn't Pinterest because there was no such thing as a computer, so we didn't have furniture disease, which is what I think we're actually suffering from now, you know, sitting down at the tablet or computer for 4, 5, 6 hours a day, and that's what we do for work. That's just life. And
right.
So our body's construction is so much different. We're not out plowing fields anymore. We're not out milking cows. We're not out hanging laundry. We're not out doing all this physical activity. And then we get into this process of, you know, anorexia and bulimia, as you mentioned before, and now we're in this computer-generated process of maybe we'll get on a treadmill, which is an electronic device, somewhere at a gym that's heated. You know, so we've taken out the whole natural process of weight loss or weight control, which was natural, and now we have to maintain it. If you actually look at the bodies, the body structures, if you sit down in the mall and look at the bodies that walk by, it is so much different than when I was a child. And I grew up in the South, and everything was Crisco. You put Crisco on your toast. I mean, Crisco, everything. You put Crisco on your face before you go to bed. So I understand, you know, like this crazy overeating, whatever, fat stuff. But I also am starting to observe that we're like this upside-down triangle now. So if you were to sit in a mall and watch all of these people with furniture disease, you'd say, oh, my God, look at these love candles that just popped up, muffin tops. Never existed before. But now that we are dominantly with computers and having to sit down for the majority of our work, even at fast food restaurants, you know, we don't have the kind of exercise that we used to have. So I think that plays a huge part. And I don't think there's enough respect for people when it comes to reality versus, oh, you're just, you know, overeating. What do you think?
Right. Well, that goes back to me being a little girl growing up on a ranch in Nebraska. You know, we did chores before we went to school. We went to school all day.
Right.
We came from school. We did chores. You know, we did chores clear up until it was time to go to bed, or we did our homework and then went to bed. We didn't even get to sit and watch TV. We were allowed to watch TV one night a week on Sunday nights, and it was The Lawrence Welk Show and The Wonderful World of Disney.
Yep.
Right. So, you know, but what, once again, being raised on a ranch, we ate huge meals. We had, you know, bacon and eggs for breakfast. We had mashed potatoes and gravy and roast for dinner. But then again, we worked really hard. We were very, very physical. You know, we hoed the weeds in the gardens and we milked cows. And so we were very, very active back then. And like you said, now, sometimes you can't even get someone to get on an electronic treadmill, let alone do something very physical. Me, myself, I still personally like to go outside and run so that I have to actually propel myself forward on a concrete surface.
Well, and I have a 9-year-old daughter, and it's funny because I chaperone every single event that I possibly can. And it was really, you know, I'm from Miami. I'm from a city. But we moved to New England. I was forced to move up here, long story short. But I have a lot of farm experience, believe it or not. Even as a city girl, I have a lot of farm experience, which is really cool because it's given me such a beautiful balance. And when I chaperone her field trips here in New Hampshire, of all places, I mean, it's very ho-dunky country. Not a bad thing. It's beautiful. But a lot of the kids have never even seen a cow. And I'm scratching my head going, seriously? How have you never, you know, what do your parents do? They don't take you out? Like, it's just weird. But that's a different
right.
show. We have about 90 seconds left, and I want you to shamelessly plug yourself for at least 30. And then you have 20 seconds to tell over 400,000 viewers internationally what you want them to get away from today. Go.
What I want to have you take away from today is you need to love yourself. You need to love yourself no matter what size you are. You need to love yourself no matter what race you are. You need to love yourself to the core, because first of all, you know, you can't go out and find happiness. Happiness has to come from within. And the more in tune with you are with yourself, and the more confident you are, and the more you love yourself, the happier you're going to be, and the happier you're going to make other people around you. So get out there, live life to your fullest, take every day like it could be your last, and try to make an impact on life and be happy doing it.
And where do we find you, my friend?
You can find me at teresaromer.com. It's TheresaRoemer.com.
And thank you for bringing out the goddess in all of us. I am so grateful for you and your work. I'm going to say goodnight to you, and I have to close up, but thank you, and I'm so excited, and I hope everybody gets to go out and get your book, Nude? Is that right?
Yes, Nude, Unveiling Your Inner Beauty and Sensuality, yes. And thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Teresa. Have a good night.
Thanks. Bye.
You're listening to Living and Thriving with Rusty. I'm Rusty. That was Teresa Romer. Go check her out. She is a woman of the cloth. She has the divine spirit in her that talks about loving yourself, being yourself, authentic, true, and awesome. And until next time, which will be next Sunday, because next Wednesday I am out. Many prayers, and I'm grateful for all of those. Thank you. I love you. You're beautiful. You're amazing to me. I'm so glad that we get to walk this path together and learn about all of these amazing people all over the world and share this moment. It's a half an hour of prime time, and it's beautiful. And, God, there's just so many cool people out there, and I'm just grateful to be able to bring them to you so that you can be inspired, motivated, and maybe change if you need to. Until next time, know that I love you, and smile. It's the best contagion on the planet.
You're listening to